AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt and Eric here today. A lot of news to get to. Stein will be joining us a little bit later on. How are you doing, Eric? First time I've seen you this week.
I've been doing well. I ate that chicken soup you gave me. I'm feeling strong. I feel like my stats are up.
So when I make chicken soup, when I get the stock done, because this is what you had there was a case where we roasted a chicken, and in this day and age, I'm going like my grandparents used to during the 1930s. And you know what? We're not wasting it. We're putting it in a pot. Let's make some soup.
You got a stew going.
And what I do is take some red pepper flakes. Right after you take the main carcass out, so you got your stock right before you put your onions, put about, quarter tablespoon, or a quarter teaspoon in there, like that. Tablespoon if you really like it hot. But a quarter teaspoon, just put them in. Doesn't it have that nice little bit of heat in there?
Yeah.
Kind of clears things out.
It kind of opens up the flavors.
Oh, it does.
Talking about.
Oh, just glad you liked it. I'm glad you liked it. By the way, let's thank some people. Let's thank some people. We, of course, here at AM 950, we're going through this crisis along with you. And with a lot of our businesses that advertise on AM 950, a lot of them are shut down. And, it's a little hairy here at AM 950. So we have appreciated everyone who has sponsored the radio station. It's something we started doing here just a few weeks ago. And so far, the outpouring has been fantastic. Thank you very much to everyone who has donated. We do appreciate it, like Richard in Minnetonka, Julie in Plymouth, Wendy in Minneapolis, Chad in Minneapolis, Neil and Heidi in Egan, also Teresa in Musselburgh, Scotland. I also want to throw that in there. Teresa, just a private message to you. I will get the Proclaimers in on the dance before too long. I think we'll have to do that tomorrow. Because remember, it's Wednesday, so I won't be dancing today with Stein here. But thank you to everyone who here has helped donate, helped keep AM 950 on the air. We do appreciate it. If you'd like more information, just go to am950radio.com, am950radio.com, and donate if you can. And sponsor the station. We really do appreciate it very, very much in this day and age. 952-946-6205. By the way, big salute. The today's walk went up to French Regional Park, which is one of the three rivers. It's basically on the very northern side of Lake Medicine Lake, which is a decent sized lake, man. That's a nice sized lake. I was up there. There is something therapeutic about being on a beach and shoreline with open water. And I can't tell you how nice it was to be up on a bigger lake like that. And have the waves and have, just a nice, we ended up being there for about a half an hour longer than we wanted to be just because we wanted to, that experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. There's kind of a purifying effect of being near bodies of water, I feel.
I get it. It's like, people are like, I love living near mountains. And I'm like, unless it's Mount St. Helens and I got a view with a show, I'm not exactly a big fan. I'm not. I mean, it's they're pretty. Oh, God, I've visited the mountains numerous times. They're beautiful. Glacier is one of the prettiest places on the freaking planet, undoubtedly. I'm just not a mountain person.
They come with a lot of
have you tried
in the behind.
You ever tried to climb up one of those things, man? God, they just go up and up and up. I mean, it's a pain in the butt. Nothing against the fine prairies and the flatlands. The ocean, I like the ocean. The one downside to the ocean is low tide. And as a guy that lived in Wickford, Rhode Island, they like to say, Wickford, Rhode Island.
Wickford.
Wickford, by East Greenwich, North Kingston. I lived over there. You can smell low tide the entire statewide. It's a small state. It is a delight.
That fresh sea breeze.
You wonder why they drink on the East Coast. Anyway, I have to have a lake. And it was nice to be up there. The good news is we got a lot of stuff. We have a lot of things to get to right now. A lot of things to get to right now, including Stein in a little bit here. But let's go with the big news as of right now. To continue Minnesota's success at slowing the spread of COVID-19 across the state, Governor Walz has extended the stay-home order until May 4th. What we are doing is working in Minnesota, said Governor Walz. We are taking this seriously, and we are staying home while Minnesota is showing lower rates of infections than our peers across the country. Now, this is something I have pointed out. You can look at the New York Times. They have a map. And when I started looking at this map, we were 26th in the country. Now, that still is pretty good. Our population means we're 22nd in the country. So we're actually lower on the ranking scale than our population should dictate. I mean, you would think to yourself, if we're the 22nd most populous state, shouldn't we have the 22nd or somewhere around there? Most cases. That's not how it worked. We were lower than that, and then we absolutely started to move further and further and further down the list to where right now we're at 34th on the list. We are down 8 spots, and on top of that, we are almost, I mean, and I got some questions for Jeff Stein when I come on back, when he comes on the air here a little bit. Iowa's about to go past us. They're about 9 cases behind us. Iowa has 3.1 million people. We have 5.6. Iowa does not, and with all due respect to the mighty metroplex that is Des Moines, they do not have a Minneapolis-St. Paul or a St. Louis or a Kansas City, really, even there. It is a state that is mostly rural, and they have almost more cases than we do. We have done a magnificent job. I am of the mindset, I really am, I'm very glad the governor has decided to extend this, because you know what? This is working. This is working. Okay, so once again, now the stay-at-home order goes until May 4th. The governor's order to stay at home is forecasted to significantly slow the spread of COVID-19, pushing out the peak of the disease and allowing the state to continue key preparations for the pandemic. These preparations include building new hospital capacity, buying ventilators and masks, planning on how to protect those most at risk, expanding testing, and freeing up time for healthcare giants like the Mayo Clinic to develop critical treatments of the virus. The stay-at-home order is now extended to May 3rd. So basically, it goes till Sunday, the 3rd of May. The 4th of May, hopefully things can reopen. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan chimed in. As a mom and a daughter, I know how challenging this is for Minnesota families, but it is working. These decisions are guided by the best available data and we are constantly responding to new information and challenges. Staying home is the best strategy as of right now. Under the extended order, once again, let's review what you can do. Relocation to ensure safety, of course. And obviously, this is something that, and Eric, I don't know if you've seen some of these stories, concern about the domestic violence with, the stay-at-home orders, people staying in the house. It seems as if there have been, in some communities, an elevation in these cases.
But I guess the story's been.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can tell you right now from Zoom and FaceTime and all that, alcohol consumption's gone up.
That's true. That might be part of it.
I can tell you for sure that's what's happened. But I will say this, if you are not feeling safe, there are options. Do not feel like you are trapped in your house. For God's sakes, no. And, there are places for safety. Just remember that, okay? Health and safety activities such as obtaining emergency service and medical supplies. Outdoor activities, walking, hiking, running, biking, hunting, and fishing. Saw some guys fishing over there at French Regional Park today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Guy got a nice little crappie right off the dock there. Well done. Of course, hunting. I don't think we can put deer stands up on Hennepin. The wildlife seems to be taking over these cities again, though. But I will tell you, I've had friends who tell me that deer are around, turkeys are around. No hunting stands within the metro area, okay? I think we all agree on that. Necessary supplies and services, getting groceries, gasoline, carry out. Essential interstate and intrastate travel, such as returning home from outside the state. Care of others, such as caring for a family member, friend, or pet of another household. Displacement, such as moving between emergency shelters if you are without a home. Moving or relocation, such as moving to a new home or a place of residence. Voting. Funerals, provided that no more than 10 attendees are gathered and strict social distancing is enforced. Tribal activities and lands, such as activities by members within the boundaries of their tribal reservation. This is Executive Order 2033, also orders that all workers can go to work who must do so. Workers in critical sectors who cannot work from home are permitted to go to work. Guidance related to critical sectors is released here with this. I will say this, for the most part, it doesn't seem like the governor has expanded out the amount of people that can go to work. I think he's kind of keeping it on a fairly close amount of people. One second here. I'm just going to see if I can find it. I think Peter Callahan over at MinPost posted it as well. So, updated jobs. Yeah, okay. So let's see if this pulls up there. But needless to say, it doesn't look as if a lot of new jobs, new businesses are being included on the exclusion list from staying at home. As a matter of fact, there does seem to be clarification, as a matter of fact, on some of this here. Workers supporting minimum basic operations in all businesses, other organizations. Minimum basic operations include minimum necessary activities to maintain the value of the business's inventory, preserve the condition of the business and other organizations' facilities. Minimum necessary activities facilitate remote work by workers from their residence. Healthcare and public health. Workers supporting the medical cannabis industry are allowed, but workers in adult daycares are not exempted. So if you're in an adult daycare center, you are not exempted from the stay-at-home option here. Food and agriculture, lawn care, landscape workers are going to be able to go out there. Workers supporting garden centers, workers supporting florists and the sale and delivery of perishable plant stock. The category does not include the following workers who are not exempt. Those would be workers supporting tobacco vaping product shops and workers supporting CBD oil shops. Transportation logistics, automobiles, motorcycle recreational vehicles, all-terrain vehicle sales are necessary to allow for essential travel, so they can be open. I know also, as we know with our good friends at Rudy Luther Toyota, they're open for service. So, and by the way, if you need your vehicle service, go to Rudy Luther. They got you. And they actually have minimal contact options there. So, there are some people that they've kind of put out more specifics on this. Workers doing ordinary residential house cleaning or individual homes or apartment are not exempt. So basically, that if you are doing, if you're a house cleaner and you're just doing private houses, you're not exempt from the stay-at-home order. Also not exempted are pet grooming businesses. They're not exempted. So, I mean, I think that there's just some clarifications that needed to be made, and the governor seems to have made them. In regards to this, for the most part, though, this is the right thing to do. This is the right thing to do. The thing can explode overnight if you don't take a proper precautions, Governor Wall said, while pointing out that is what exactly has happened in states like New York, which he's exactly right on. Minnesota Department of Health Commissioner Jan Malcolm said there is a plan to go through model updates on Friday of this week. The hard-earned sacrifices can be lost overnight if we don't do this right. And that's the thing. That is the thing. If we've done well, the problem is that if we all of a sudden just, okay, we've done great, we can explode. We can all of a sudden look at summer being gone. And right now, I'm going to be honest. Can I see my son having a high school graduation? No, I can't. I just can't. But do I see my son and myself going out maybe having a dinner for his graduation in a restaurant that's, got social distancing seating, possibly in June? Yes, I could see that. If you're going to see that, though, you have to basically make sure you are, that basically you are, taking care of things now so that we have the option that summer will work. Let's go to Peter in Golden Valley, 952-946-6205. Peter, thank you very much. I do appreciate you holding.
Hi, Matt. Matt, I've got a situation here that we are at a dilemma to try and solve. My wife and I are in our mid-70s. We have our stepson living with us because he went through a divorce and his ex cleaned him right out. He can't afford to live anywhere on his own. So we're housing him and feeding him because it's just a terrible situation. He has a beautiful 5-year-old daughter, and his daughter... he gets the daughter 40% of the time. She usually comes over here every other weekend and every Tuesday evening. Now, with this pandemic, we are really, really worried because we're not in totally good health. And what happens, the daughter, since the start of this lockdown, we suggested that she stays with the primary care parent, the one who's got over 60% of the time. But the situation is we're scared about having the daughter coming into our house backwards and forwards from their house to our house. Now, her new husband works in the medical system, and he works in, I don't know if it's blood banks or plasma banks or the hospital. So he's dealing with blood and plasma all the time. Now, I don't know what he's doing, but he's going off to work. Our stepson has to go off to work because he works at the airport. And we're scared, actually, about all this. And scared about us passing something on to the daughter, which goes back to the primary care mother, and vice versa. This little girl being a carrier coming into us. We're middle-aged. The other thing, too, is that the ex-wife, is yelling at our stepson via email and also personally about his dropping his responsibility of looking after the daughter part-time because she wants a break. And we don't know if everybody I've spoken to says she should stay with the primary care mother while this crisis is on. But our son is scared that he's going to get sued in the courts. Now, I couldn't imagine that any court would rule against him for trying to act in the best interest of the child so that the child is not coming in and out of two different households. Now, I sent a letter off to Tim Walz's office, no response. I sent a letter off to all the TV stations, nobody's addressed it. And I don't know if anybody has addressed the issue of shared parenting in this crisis about children going from household to household all the time. What's your thoughts, mate?
Well, first of all, Peter, what I'll say is all my best to your family. I think what you're dealing with when you talk about dropping off of kids and them coming to your house, them going to their house, and thank you, Peter. I appreciate it. I think that it's incredibly normal. Some of our friends and family members, you know, we're going to do on Easter, we're going to give some Easter dinner to my mother-in-law to take it with her, and she's giddy about it. But my sister-in-law, they don't want anyone making food for them. And so, you know, everyone has a different kind of a different standard of what's going to happen. As far as, when dropping off or something like this happens, I have friends who basically they're divorced, they have shared custody, they drop off the kid. When that happens, what happens is they stand in the driveway or they stand on the front walk. The kid walks up, they come on in, everyone waves, they go and they go wash hands and kind of go from there. You can do the same thing going back. As far as shared custody goes, what I would argue is that try to call the governor's office. I would make an argument that there's got to be someone within the governor's office that is working on some of these issues. And I know that a lot of the people who are politicians are working on some of these issues because, you know, kind of like the new exemplist, he and what's not exempt. He had to kind of update that. Explain your situation and find out what the suggestion is. I would also obviously, talking to a family lawyer would not probably be the worst idea. So I just that's where I did. Peter, all my best to you. Take care. Be safe, my friend. 952-946-6205. When we do come back, I'll finish my Minnesota update and then also two bits of news from Steve Simon, the Secretary of State, when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics. We appreciate you listening to AM 950 and promoting Minnesota's only progressive talk station. We also want to remind you how important it is to support our advertisers amid the coronavirus outbreak. The advertisements you hear on AM 950 are what allows us to stay on the airwaves and bring you the best in progressive talk radio. We're not funded through some giant parent company. We're an independent, locally owned business that relies on the local advertisers you hear. Unfortunately, many of those advertisers are are going to be hit hard by the coronavirus closures. So please, support our advertisers in any way that you can. Whether that's ordering some delicious takeout food from one of our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants, purchasing gift cards, or even just contacting them and telling them thanks for supporting AM 950. We know times are tough, so even the littlest thing you can do can go a long way to help. Find a full list of our advertisers at am950radio.com. That's am950radio.com. And thanks for listening.
The Park Tavern won't be having their Easter buffet, but you can still take advantage of the Park Tavern's great Easter family meal takeout option. That's correct. Get 3 pounds of maple glazed ham, 3 pounds of potatoes, 2 pounds of glazed carrots, and a rain check for an hour of family bowling, all for $34.95. Add an apple pie for only $9.95 more. Make your order by 6 p.m. on the 9th, and pickup will be available all day Saturday the 11th and until noon on Sunday the 12th. Call 952-929-6810 to order. Get your Easter family meal to go with a little help from the Park Tavern.
Finding the right lawyer is incredibly stressful. It can be tough to know even where to start. Don't just run an internet search for an attorney. Start with the Minnesota Lawyer Referral and Information Service, an enhanced program of the Hennepin and Ramsey County Bar Associations. They'll connect you with over 200 thoroughly vetted, qualified attorneys practicing in over 50 areas of law. Call 612-752-6699 or go to mnlawyerreferral.org. The right call for the right lawyer.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Want to give it Mary Ann Richardson. How can we go by any stance when Minnesota isn't testing everyone? You're exactly right. No, you're exactly right. I know friends who pretty much I'm convinced had coronavirus, but they couldn't get tested. And so how do you know? I will say this. This is off the test. The tests that are happening, we're falling on the better side of things. So, I mean, it's let's try to find a silver lining somewhere. How about I say it like that? Finishing out the Minnesota update, the surge of COVID-19 cases is still expected in Minnesota, which reported 4 deaths, 83 new cases on Tuesday, hours before it received a disaster declaration from President Trump that unlocks federal funds for emergency protection and recovery from the pandemic. Once again, we're getting a lot of cases, but we're not seeing the 200 case days that a lot of other states are seeing right now, which is a good thing. Steve Simon, Secretary of State, I want to get to two stories from him. First of all, Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon won the right to keep some voter information private with the state Supreme Court ruling on Wednesday, overturning 2 lower court decisions in a 3-year legal dispute. The 5-2 decision on the high court said Simon need not turn over information sought by the Minnesota Voters Alliance, a far right wing group of stooges, regarding, well, I don't know, I kind of get that, I think. Regarding voter status, reasons for any challenges to their registrations, and information on voters not currently registered. The Supreme Court said the additional information sought by the conservative-leaning Voters Alliance was accessible only to public officials for specific purposes. In declining access to that information, the Secretary of State followed the law, the court said. The lawsuit dates to January 2017 when the Voters Alliance asked Simon to access an electronic copy of data in the statewide voter registration system, including voter identification numbers, names, addresses, phone numbers, years of birth, voting history, types of ballots, absentee or in-person voter status, reasons for – and they're getting this stuff because this is trying to find ways to get people pulled off the voter rolls. The information is part of a statewide database that includes 19 fields of information, 5.4 million voters, 3.3 million of whom have active registrations. In August 2017, Simon told the group that it was entitled only to the name, address, a year of birth, history, district, and telephone number of each voter. Ramsey County Judge Jennifer Frisch disagreed, telling Simon to hand over the data. The court of appeals agreed with the data is public. The Voter Alliance frequently challenges election laws, echoing GOP claims of widespread voter fraud! Which is doesn't really exist. It doesn't really exist. They're just trying to pull as many people, especially black people, off the voter rolls. Well, I don't know exactly. I can't say that for sure about the Voter Alliance, Minnesota Voter Alliance. I don't know exactly what it is, but they sure want all of our voter information for some reason. Yeah, needless to say, this is a good thing. This is a good thing, a ruling that basically stops that dead in its tracks. But also, I did want to mention there was another thing that he wants to do. Secretary of State Steve Simon urged lawmakers to adopt new homeland emergency election rules that will make voting by mail simpler, create safer polling places for those who vote in person. He pointed to long lines in Wisconsin primaries and limited polling spaces that hindered access to voting for people in our neighboring state. Simon's backing a proposed bill that would do the following. Each registered voter will automatically receive a ballot in the mail. Witness signature will be required for voting. Reduction in number of polling places on election day. Extra time allotted for election administrations to process ballots. He's trying to do a lot of things here. Here's my favorite thing, though. This is Republican Jim Nash, a member of the subcommittee, said he won't be able to support the bill in its current form, and he doubted he could gain bipartisan support. You won't find support for the GOP on this, said Representative Nash, a Republican from Oconia. Nash suggested lawmakers should explore instead adding more polling places and voting centers at city halls to cut down the lines that would result from social distancing. Okay, let me get this right. So your solution to stop people from having to potentially getting sick and dying from voting by having to go to the polling places is to make more polling places. Wait a second. I've got an idea. Aha! There you go. No. By the way, Debbie Erickson, the Crow Wing County Auditor Treasurer, said that it's already challenging enough to find election judges to staff the 3,000-plus existing polling places. So, no, Representative Nash. No. Whether or not you'll get it done, my guess is going to be is that a certain senator from the northwest part of the metro area will be like, oh, how dare the rest of the state not love me as much as Steve Simon or something of that nature. I don't know. I don't know these things. I don't know exactly what the motivation of the Minnesota Voter Alliance is. I don't know what their motivation is. They sure seem to want everyone's voting information. And if it plays out like other states, they basically want to purge off most voters, make it far more difficult to vote in the state of Minnesota. I don't know if they're like other states. I don't know what they're wanting to do. I don't know what that certain senator from the northwest part of the metro will do, but I can tell you this right now. As Trump himself admitted, if we make it easier for people to vote, then Republicans will not win. Ta-da! God, you should have told him to keep that quiet. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. When we do return, it's the Steiner, it's Jeff Stein. When we come on back, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning knows a comfortable home is more important now than ever. So we're offering up to $2,700 in savings when you buy a new furnace and AC in April. We also want to assure you that we're still open, offering all our services and answering your calls. And we've created a no-contact protocol to keep our customers and staff safe. Find out more about these savings and our new protocols at standardheating.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
Imagine cyber criminals waiting outside your network, probing for weaknesses. What if you're next? Well, what if you had a team of experts to navigate you through these what-if waters? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rymark with a unique offer, a free network security assessment. We'll uncover the hidden threats to your business and provide you with a map to peace of mind. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RymarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment and stop drowning in what-ifs.
Rudy Luther Toyota is caught up in the coronavirus just like the rest of us, but they also understand many people still need their vehicle running smoothly. Rudy Luther Toyota has their service department open for business, but don't worry, they have the social distancing requirement down. They're working with a reduced staff who are constantly sanitizing and cleaning all touch points as they go. Feel free to use the outside vehicle drop-off, and you can pay remotely to limit exposure. And of course, you get Rudy Luther's top-notch guaranteed service. We'll get through this together. For social distancing with a smile, it's Rudy Luther Toyota on 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
In response to COVID-19, Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is working to be safe and healthy for our customers and employees. We enable and require our employees to stay home if they are sick. We are closing our showroom temporarily, but we are answering our phone calls and emails. We can do a lot remotely and electronically. Email us your pictures, sketches, and plans of your project. We will listen to your ideas and make suggestions. We can explain which products will work and price them. We are doing installation and service cost estimating and scheduling. Visit us online at woodlandstoves.com, give us a call, or email us at info@woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
By the way, including, I should mention, with the elocalminnesota.com restaurants that are offering takeout, Park Tavern, they've got their Easter buffet. Now, they usually have it in-house, but they can't this year. So they're doing the Easter family meal. It's a takeout option for Easter. 3 pounds of ham, 3 pounds of rosemary parmesan potatoes, 2 pounds of glazed carrots, a rain check for an hour family bowling. That's $34.95, a great deal on that. Apple pie as well. You can get one of those for $9.95 on top of that. Get the apple pie. It's delicious. But you need to make your order by tomorrow at 6 p.m. Park Tavern, once again, this is the Easter family takeout option. Take advantage of it and help support the Park Tavern as well as the other EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurants. I should also mention, thanks, Todd Cole at Buying Ads here at AM 950. Todd wanted to help make sure we promote the blood drive that's been going on. The American Red Cross is doing a blood drive over at the Mall of America. They're closed. They've got the space. So they're doing it at the North Rotunda out there. And they did it yesterday and today. It goes to about 4 today. They're doing it again. I believe it's on the 17th and 18th. There is a link on the social media pages for that if you want to help out and donate blood. They desperately need it right now. Once again, that's the American Red Cross and the good friends over at the Mall of America. So make sure you stop on by and help out if you can. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert. We got other things there. There it is. There you go. Jeff is, of course, find his books at Next Chapter Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com. Iowa Business Report is his business show extraordinaire down there. And, of course, the Iowa Politics Report comes from KXEL. Hey, Jeff.
Are you in mourning today because Bernie is done?
Well, no. You know why I'm not in mourning? Oh, yeah. Take a look at my social media pages. Dear God. I'm never voting for anyone ever again. I'm like, oh, for God's sakes. Jeez.
So they're not – don't mark them down as undecided in the fall.
Well, I just give it some time. Take a few weeks. Let it process. I want – Jeff Stein, what is the main reason? Why did Bernie Sanders, who almost pulled up the – and you and I have talked about this. In 2016, he didn't take the southeastern states seriously. That cost him the nomination. He almost – that would have been the upset of all upsets in a presidential – in a primary. It really would have been.
Right.
And he almost pulled it off. What is the main reason why he did not resonate as well in 2020?
He was no longer the new kid on the block, which is hard to say about somebody who 4 years ago was 74. Yeah. But he was fresh and different and new ideas. And the problem this time – and remember, he did do very well, in essence a tie in Iowa. Of course, he won New Hampshire going away. But Elizabeth Warren siphoned off just enough support early on. And that was a big part of it. But the Super Tuesday – everybody fold their tents in advance and get behind Joe Biden to stop Bernie. That organized effort, that really blunted him. Because just assume for the sake of conversation that Klobuchar and Buttigieg each had said to the Biden people or to the National Party, Tom Perez, whoever, said, you know what? We've put enough time into this. We're going to stick through Super Tuesday. Let's just see what happens. That could have changed the whole outcome. But I think the fact that everybody fell in line, if I'm a Bernie supporter, I would have been so disillusioned by the process then. I'm not shocked that he's getting out now because there's just no way to go out and meet people and do things. The only thing that could have happened, I suppose, is if with all these states delaying, Wisconsin, of course, notwithstanding, that's a different issue, but with all these other states delaying, if this virus situation had plateaued and not been so much of a factor sooner, but it doesn't look like it's going to be, I mean, we won't be right by Memorial Day. And so there was, if you had later primaries, Biden faltering with his little home video exercises or his Facebook lives or whatever he's doing, then there might have been some hope. But Bernie has always seemed to me to be the type of person who really believes in the ideas and just doesn't have time for tomfoolery. And, you know, there was just no path out at this point.
Was it really so much a cabal against him, or was it the fact that that most of his supporters would constantly scream at Buttigieg and Warren, anyone else that was running on the Democratic side, that, you know, basically, you're horrible, you're dumb, you're just copying Bernie, so you might as well get out now and just endorse Bernie. Why aren't you doing so? And on top of that, that lovely little praise of Fidel Castro's literacy program on 60 Minutes. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and you're right. I think you and I talk about finances of these things all the time. South Carolina really is a wall, because if you don't have any money, you haven't been winning. By the time you get to South Carolina, you basically are on fumes, and I think that's what happened. But at the same time, I mean, Bernie himself, he did not exactly – you know, what's the old adage? You get more bees with honey than vinegar. So, I mean, he needed to learn how to – he doesn't like trying to appeal to others, so he doesn't try to appeal to others. And then when others basically pull out of the campaigns, he's not the one getting the endorsements.
Yeah, in terms of a cabal, 4 years ago, the fix was really in, and you can see it from the DNC side. This year, it was a looser sort of thing. It was kind of like the, I'll call them more mainstream candidates, for lack of a better term. They all said, oh, you know, we can't have Bernie. This could be Bernie. All right, then let's line up. So it was not as orchestrated as it was 4 years ago. 4 years ago, Saturday Night Live got Larry David to portray him in skits, and he came across as this Larry David type figure. And I think there were a lot of people who thought Bernie Sanders was like the lovable schlub character Larry David plays.
Yeah, you what? I agree
All
with
right?
that. I agree with that.
And so then this time around, we didn't have Larry David, and we had Bernie playing the role of an even grumpier old man. The only thing he didn't say is, you kids get off my lawn.
Well,
when
Larry David came on Saturday Night Live and said, you know who could wash his hands really well? Stalin. I fell out of my chair. Jesus, was that good?
Well, sure.
That was
and not trace of blood on them. No, yeah. I mean that's the thing. The you know, and you remember the skits 4 years ago, and again, people weren't able to tell the two apart. And so that gave him this kind of, I don't know, lovable, if you will. But boy, that wasn't the case this time. He was much harsher. And you're right. His people had an edge to them. But they were carrying the baggage of 4 years ago. And well, by gosh, he's going to steal it from us this time.
Well, and I'm going to say this. As much as the DNC was – there were some clowns involved in 2016 in the DNC, undoubtedly. Yep. He didn't lose it because of superdelegates. He lost it because he didn't win the southeastern United States, because he didn't take it seriously. And this time around, he did too well in the southeastern states, which was a really kind of a shocker. Have we seen any numbers out of Wisconsin from the Petri dish over there that tell us what, you know, that was the thing I was wondering about, is did his people get wind? Because Wisconsin was another one of those states where he pulled off a victory in 2016. Did they get wind that he just got trounced over there, and that's what led him to that decision that day?
I can't say that. I think that they figured there were not signs that there was going to be this great groundwell of support in his favor. I don't know that they had any evidence that things weren't going their way per se, but the whole thing was just a train wreck. If they'd gotten it delayed, well, then they could have, you know, really done something.
Oh.
But I don't think Wisconsin was – I don't think it was for the reasons you mentioned. I think they let Wisconsin play out and, you know, again – where's the path forward at this juncture? And there just isn't one. Because if Bernie had said, okay, let's stay in and let's really push and let's have debates and let's do all of this stuff, he's going to be seen as the guy who doesn't care and doesn't mind if people risk their lives. And that Wisconsin situation, you just can't have that repeated in these other states. And so I think that was part of it too. It's sort of like, why did Kamala Harris and Cory Booker and others get out before Iowa? Because they knew that they had to be sitting in Washington for an impeachment trial, and they couldn't get out with the people. They couldn't get out and raise money. Well, Bernie can't do anything but be on a video screen at this point. And so, again, he lost one of the key points that would have helped him leverage upward and might have exposed Biden for flaws.
We did get one of the great all-time memes of all time. That would be Speaker of the House Voss in Wisconsin telling everyone it's okay to come vote, and he's dressed in full hazmat gear, for God's sakes. That is one of the better images. Thanks for that, because that's going to live for infamy, Voss.
There's something, and I'm curious. I saw this last night on the Twitter machine, so obviously it must be true.
Of course.
But at the time I saw it, I thought, I want to know what McNeil thinks about this. So the Republicans in the legislature in Wisconsin were the ones who, with the help of the high court there, wanted the election to be held on that date. By gum, that's all there is to it. And Democrats were saying, no, we really ought to postpone this thing until it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
That led someone to say the Republicans have now boxed Democrats in a corner, because if, in fact, Republicans say things are so bad we have to delay the general election, which is not going to happen, but let's just play this out. If Republicans wanted to delay the general election, they could then point to Wisconsin and Democrats and say, well, you wanted to delay.
Well, but they didn't delay. First of all, they didn't delay. Second of all, this, an arbitrary primary vote that can happen sometime before the convention is a far different election than a general election. And that's I don't have to put context. I don't have to put spin on it. That's just the reality. What I'm going to love is the same. I'll put it back on the other side. The same mm-hmm. Republicans who are demanding that we have to have a primary election happen on the primary date are going to be the same ones going, well, I think it's time for us to – we have to shift the general election into January. I mean, I can't wait for that, because in all truthfulness, that's going to be a far larger bit of hypocrisy to have to get around, because there's going to be a lot of Republicans, if these numbers go a lot the way that these people are starting to figure them, that are going to go that other way. I want to ask you something about Iowa.
By the way, I love it. First of all, I love it when you impersonate Republicans. That was very cute.
You're welcome.
But this was a Democratic consultant who posited that on Twitter last night, and I thought, okay, that's worthy at least of recognizing.
Sure thing, Dennis Quaid. All right, so you can go check out that quote for later from the Daily Beast.
I'll have to. Yeah,
all right, so Iowa, you and I talked last week. You had said, do you have a statewide stay-at-home order in your state right now?
We do not by that name.
But
we do not have a stay-at-home order. We have all sorts of restrictions walking right up to it, where supposedly Dr. Fauci is now on record saying Iowa has more restrictions than some states with stay-at-home orders.
Here's the question I have for you.
Yes, sir.
Minnesota, I've been tracking on the New York Times, which is tracking the amount of cases per state, which, once again, let's be honest, we don't really know, because a lot of people aren't getting tested. But the people that are getting tested, they're coming back. We're getting a number on it. And I have watched as states like Mississippi and Idaho have skyrocketed and shot past Minnesota. Minnesota is the 22nd most populous state in the nation. We started off on that list at 26. We are now at 34. We are 9 cases ahead of Iowa, which is – we have 5.6 million people. If I'm not mistaken, you're 3.1, or is it 3.4?
That ballpark, three-something.
3-point-something. Mm-hmm. And on the low threes, too. But, I mean, you're still there. And you do not have, and with all due respect to Des Moines, you do not have a large metroplex area.
Absolutely true.
Nothing like Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Chicago, or St. Louis, or something like that. And so the fact that you are having this, I mean, is this, do you feel, is, because once again, Minnesota just extended out their stay-at-home order till May 4th. That just happened today. Because it has been good, and we have been getting better and better in regards to the context of the rest of the country. Do you feel as if Iowa's growing coronavirus rate was due to the fact that the governor down there was so hesitant to put something into place earlier on?
I'll say no for a couple of reasons. We had restrictions pretty early. They just weren't a stay-at-home order. I mean, the schools were closed a month ago. Businesses were limited, and now even more businesses are limited, and it's extended till at least the 30th in concert with the federal. There are now 1,145 cases in Iowa. That is as of today, 1,145, 27 deaths. Two things of importance in terms of how I look at it here. there is a huge outbreak at a senior care center in Cedar Rapids, which is the second largest county. Okay. That is where you have a very large – I mean, this is where you get the spread in these areas. Okay?
And it goes right through – it's like water down a hill at that point.
It's just tragic is what it is. And Johnson County, which is Iowa City, just the south of Cedar Rapids, there were a couple of dozen people who were immediately identified because they all were on the same cruise to Egypt sponsored by a local bank. Okay, so it's like – you could point to a few pockets where things just really flared up. Now, that does not account for 1,145, I will grant you that. But New Jersey has had more people die than Iowa has had infected.
Well, and
again, you've got a population situation there where they're just on top of each other there.
Well, and once again, and New Jersey have signed fine. I mean, we basically almost have twice the population of Iowa, and you're about to pass us an amount of cases. I think this is going to be something that we're not going to be able to get into right away, but I think this is something to look at because I think that in Minnesota, Walls, and with all due respect, the GOP in this state has done very well. I think the DFL has done really well. Everyone's worked together understanding this is an ugly situation, and they put forward a game plan which really has limited it. It doesn't mean that there aren't a lot of cases. Doesn't mean we haven't had deaths. It just means that I think it's interesting. You know, you look at Idaho and Mississippi. And the way that they were so belligerent in those states for so long, and now where are they having the ventilators at this point in those states? I mean, it just you kind of put this whole thing in perspective. It just is it's a nightmare. This is really truly a nightmare. I'll tell you what, Jeff. Let's take a break.
Yep.
We'll come back.
Yes,
we'll touch more on this from the federal level. Jeff Stein joining us. So I do want to remind everyone, Robert Pilot, the Pilot's Progressive Party, coming up here at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Robert, Wendy, Aaron Murphy. Make sure you say hi to Aaron Murphy for me. She'll be joining them. Kiala Kelly, the native Hawaiian journalist and filmmaker. She'll also be on the show as well. That's 5 o'clock this afternoon. Pilot's Progressive Party. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I wanna live with a cinnamon girl.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tom Hartman here letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Don't be surprised if you hear your name when you walk into St. Paul Corner Drug. Our experienced staff make getting to know you their top priority. Developing a trusting relationship with our patients is the first step in providing personalized care that achieves the best outcomes possible. Make certain all your providers know who you are and what your needs are. It is a vital step in your well-being. Stop by St. Paul Corner Drug today to start a relationship with a staff that cares. St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop. OP.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us right now. Jeff, how are things going in Iowa with the latest report that bacon, because restaurants are closed, bacon is apparently one of the most popular things that, you know, whether it's part of another recipe on top of a burger or just, I guess, a plate of it. That basically bacon orders are down dramatically and the hog prices have absolutely cavitated at this point.
Oh, it's really bad because, again, we eat bacon when we go out it's a nice little vice, and we don't want to make it at home because it's so messy. I mean, frankly, right? I mean, I talked to somebody the other day, and they said, oh, I put it in the oven, and I thought, well, I think that's against the law to cook bacon in an oven, actually. So, but you've got – I mean
– Iowa's got some weird laws, man.
Well, you lived here. We had to put them in place.
Yeah, exactly. True. You know, yeah. No,
so,
I'm not going to deny.
So you've got that kind of an issue. And again, it's a big deal because between North Carolina and Iowa, there's where your hogs are produced. But there's now all of the ethanol plants. This biofuels industry is cratering. It could be literally half as many barrels produced than in prior years. And that's going to have a devastating effect. And that's not all coronavirus, but people aren't traveling. Hmm. So they're not – I mean, look at the gas prices, right? I mean, this is a perfect storm, as the folks from the industry have explained it to me, between the fight going on with crude oil prices. People aren't traveling. And so now you've got the ag industry that started this year so positive because of trade deals, and it didn't look like we're going to have a lot of flooding. And, okay, this may be the year. Oh, wait, here comes coronavirus, and everything craters again.
We've got about 2 minutes here, but I wanted to get into this. Very Harding-esque here, Trump's desire to get rid of the inspector generals. So basically, we pass these laws. We're going to have oversight of this money as it gets distributed and oversight of supplies getting distributed. And Trump's new tactic is to get rid of the people who are supposed to oversee these products and this money, and basically letting the fox into the hen house.
You're spending a lot of time with the kids helping them homeschool. Harding-esque. That is outstanding. Well, you know, when Nancy Pelosi said we need a committee, bipartisan, to watch and see how the money's being spent, et cetera, and people on the right just threw up their hands and said, well, this is ridiculous. Okay, maybe it's not so darn ridiculous now, because you have a lot of Republicans who have been strong advocates of whistleblower laws. And this does nothing to support that, quite obviously. And, it's the kind of thing you saw right after the acquittal in the Senate, where he just started firing people who did him wrong. Well, apparently he found another one. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And again, last I knew, there was not gold neon lettering or gold leaf lettering on the White House that said Trump. So this is not like a hotel or another failed business where you can just go fire the people who you think have done you wrong.
Well, and I mean, I'm sorry. I can see this cab coming down the street with his doors wide open. If he loses in this election, you know, it's going to be 2 or 3 years. All of a sudden, everyone's going to be like, oh, guess what? He and his buddies were jamming the money into their own pockets. Or he was taking medical supplies away from New York and California and giving them to red states like Florida. I mean, I think that's what really at the end game we're going to eventually find out.
Well, this short story is the whole thing. Yesterday, one of the reporters asked, you just said that ballots by mail, that's criminal. Oh, yes, this is how they steal elections, ballots by mail. And the reporter said, well, didn't you vote by mail in the Florida election? And he said, well, yeah. And the reporter said, why? And he said, well, because I could. So, I mean, okay. I don't even know. I mean, I get the idea of, I hate these things. They're crooked, but I'm going to do it because that's what the law says I can do, sort of, kind of. I don't know.
Jeff Stein, thank you very much, Jeff. I do appreciate the time. We'll spotlight this interview. We'll talk to you next week. More dancing tomorrow. Until then, see ya.